Welcome to the deep dive. The date is June 20, 2026. And okay, let's unpack this, because today we're attempting to make sense of a week where AI officially just, well, it broke into the software sandbox.
It really did. The containment is completely gone.
Yeah. We're using a really incredible source for this, a dense, highly curated weekly roundup by tech analyst Matt Silve. He filtered down something like 204 separate signals, research notes, synthesized blog posts.
It's a massive amount of data to process.
It is, but he captured this truly staggering 7 days. I mean, we're looking at a week where AI model access became a literal geopolitical weapon, where it seemingly just killed the how-to book industry overnight.
Right.
And where a tiny team of like 9 software developers built a working piece of futuristic medical hardware. So we really need to rethink how software interacts with the physical world.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is that while these stories seem completely disparate on the surface, I mean, you have high stakes Washington politics, book publishing economics, medical hardware engineering.
Totally different worlds.
Right, but they're all symptoms of the exact same phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
They are the friction points of AI hitting actual physical limits.
So let's start with the friction point that caused an absolute earthquake for developers this week. The Fable 5 standoff.
Oh, yeah. That was massive.
Right. Overnight, the Trump administration forced Anthropic to pull its absolute best frontier models, Fable 5 and Mythos 5, completely offline.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone. Globally.
And the timeline of how this unfolded is crucial, I think, because it highlights how rapidly technical issues are now colliding with political ones. According to the reporting we have, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy actually surfaced a specific jailbreak directly to the White House.
Right. And just so we're all on the same page, a jailbreak is a method to bypass the model's safety guardrails. But researchers find jailbreaks, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this specific one trigger a direct line to the Oval Office?
Well, that is the core of the dispute right there. And we should state clearly for you listening, we're strictly impartial here. We are not taking sides between the Trump administration's security concerns or Anthropic's defense of their model.
Exactly. We're just trying to analyze the implications of frontier AI suddenly being gated by politics.
Right. So the administration viewed the capability exposed by this bypass as a critical national security vulnerability, something so severe they felt it warranted an immediate shutdown. They reached out to Anthropic, but CEO Dario Amodei was reportedly at a wellness retreat.
Which is just wild timing.
Yeah, terrible timing. When they finally connected on Friday afternoon, the calls were incredibly tense. The administration claims Anthropic was uncooperative, that they ignored safety requests, and brought in a cyber expert the administration viewed as a, quote, radical Democrat.
Wow.
Basically, they felt Anthropic failed to read the room. So by 5.21 p.m. that Friday, an official expert-controlled directive landed. Fable 5 and Mythos 5 went dark.
Globally. Even Anthropic's own foreign national staff lost access, and everyday Claude users were just abruptly downgraded to the older Opus 4.8 model.
Yeah, no warning.
The collision of narratives here is just fascinating. Washington sees a massive national security blind spot, and Silicon Valley sees a standard red team discovery being wildly misinterpreted. Anthropic is saying this jailbreak isn't universal. It's no different than what's already out there in models like GPT 5.5.
It's the ultimate culture clash, you know? Washington operates on zero-day containment, while Silicon Valley operates on open research and iterative safety.
But the precedent is terrifying. I mean, think about it. It's like a government suddenly shutting down a major utility, like turning off the regional power grid because of a localized spark in one neighborhood.
That's a really good way to put it.
If our reliance on these closed models is this fragile, doesn't this entirely change how developers build?
Oh, absolutely. The fragility of closed models isn't theoretical anymore. And the market reacted instantly. Nature abhors a vacuum. The moment those closed models went dark, the open weight community stepped right in.
Enter Z.AI's GLM 5.2, released right on cue.
The timing was impeccable.
It was. It's a Chinese open weight model released under an MIT license, so full commercial use is allowed. And the specs on this thing are massive.
It's currently the best open weight model in the world. It has 744 billion total parameters, with 40 billion active and a massive 1 million token context window.
Wait, pause on that for a second.
Yeah.
If a model has 744 billion parameters, why are only 40 billion active? What does that actually mean?
So it uses an architecture called a mixture of experts. If it activated the entire massive network for every single prompt, the computing power and energy required would just be astronomical.
Right, it would melt the servers.
Exactly. So instead, the model categorizes your prompt and routes it only to specific subnetworks or experts that specialize in that particular topic.
Oh, okay, so it's kind of like a massive university faculty. You have 744 billion professors on staff covering every conceivable subject. But when a student asks a highly specific question about, say, international contract law, you don't need the art history professors weighing in. You just route the student to the 40 billion professors who actually know the law.
That is a perfect analogy. It allows for this incredible depth of knowledge without crippling compute costs. And that 1 million token context window, that means you could hand those legal professors a stack of full-length textbooks, and they could hold all that info in their short-term memory while answering you.
And the benchmarks are just proving it out. GLM 5.2 took the number one spot on the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index. Number one on Design Arena, Vals Finance, Vals Legal. It even broke 30% on Proofbench. It's literally matching GPT 5.5.
Yeah, the moat around proprietary models is gone.
But okay, if GLM 5.2's dominance across coding and legal and finance proves AI has mastered current human knowledge, what happens to the humans who used to, sell that knowledge?
Well, the economic reality is hitting hard, and Tim Ferriss actually provided the hard data on this disruption this week.
Yeah, this part of the roundup was a tough read. So Tim Ferriss, the author and podcaster, published his own book, Revenue Data, and it showed a massive 77% drop over the last 2 years.
A staggering drop.
And he attributes this directly to AI, because his catalog is self-help, productivity, life optimization. It's exactly the category where an LLM is a perfectly fine substitute for buying a book.
Right. AI is no longer a future threat to information products. The disruption is happening right now. Ferris's own team uses Claude every day, so he sees it from the inside.
Which ties into that viral quiz going around this week. Did you see that?
Oh, the In the Weights one.
Yeah, intheweights.com, where you can check if you're famous enough, or I guess published enough, to have been included in AI training data.
Yeah, it's a funny concept, but the underlying reality is pretty stark.
Exactly. It's like the invention of the calculator wiping out slide rule manufacturers. But it feels so much more personal. It makes you wonder, what does this all mean for you and me? Are we all just destined to become anonymous data points, just, in the weights of the next model?
It's a valid fear. Because if dynamic AI can generate custom answers instantly, static information products like how-to books just can't compete.
Right. So if AI has absorbed enough human knowledge to basically kill the how-to book industry, what is the ceiling? Like, how far can this actually go?
Well, Google DeepMind just published a 60-page paper trying to answer exactly that. They mapped the road from AGI, artificial general intelligence, all the way to ASI, artificial superintelligence.
And their definition of ASI is intense.
Yeah.
They define it as a system outperforming tens of thousands of coordinated experts working for 10 years on a single problem.
Tens of thousands. It's hard to even wrap your head around.
Yeah. And the paper outlines four paths to get there, right? Like scaling, algorithmic breakthroughs, recursive self-improvement, and multi-agent coordination.
Yes. But they also outlined six major blockers that could prevent us from reaching ASI.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because you read through these blockers, and the most fascinating one is what they call the abstraction barrier.
Abstraction barrier, right.
It's this idea that models trained purely on human concepts might never be able to invent genuinely new ones. Like if you train an AI only on pre-Newtonian physics, it might be brilliant, but it might never reason its way to the theory of relativity.
Right, because the data simply isn't there to connect those dots.
Exactly. So I have to ask, if AI is essentially just a highly complex mirror reflecting our own knowledge back at us, how can it ever make a genuine leap? Is it just trapped in an echo chamber of human thought?
That is the multi-trillion-dollar question, and it comes down to talent. If overcoming the abstraction barrier requires a massive paradigm shift, it matters where the smartest humans are working.
Oh, right.
Which is why it's a huge deal that Noam Shazir, the co-inventor of the Transformer architecture, just joined OpenAI this week.
Wow.
Yeah. It won't change products tomorrow, but it absolutely signals where foundational capabilities are heading in the next 18 months. They are gathering the people who can build the ladder over that barrier.
But if AI is trapped by the text data humans have already written, isn't the only way for it to learn new things, to start interacting with the real physical world directly?
Exactly. And this week, it did exactly that.
This was the most shocking news of the week for me. Midjourney. the AI image generation company,
yeah.
they announced a new division, Midjourney Medical. And a team of just 9 people built a working full-body ultrasound scanner. 9 people.
It's incredible.
It really is. The patient stands in this warm pool of water, and 500,000 microsensors map their insides in 60 seconds at submillimeter resolution.
And what's crazy is there's no radiation.
None. It's 100 times faster than MRI and 10 times cheaper. And they're launching it as a spa experience in San Francisco in 2027. I mean, it's like a team of app developers suddenly building a working Formula One car in their garage.
It really is a hardware miracle.
If a team of 9 can build an MRI killer, what happens when we give these small teens autonomous AI agents? Does the scale of human ambition completely decouple from the size of the team?
It already is. AI is becoming functionally autonomous in software right now. Look at Vercel. They just launched Eve, an open-source TypeScript framework that makes building agents as easy as building a website with Next.js. It's convention over configuration.
Yeah, and Vercel is using it for over 100 internal agents. They have an autonomous SDR, a sales rep returning 32 times its $5,000 a year operating cost.
The leverage is just absurd.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. Perplexity launched Brain, which is a memory graph that learns your context across sessions overnight.
Oh, wow. So it remembers you.
Exactly. And Coinbase registered an AI agent with the SEC to do automated tax loss harvesting. Claude Code launched live, auto-updating artifacts for engineering teams.
So AI is acting independently, building things, doing our taxes. But there's a physical catch, right?
Always. The physical gating of AI is actually intensifying. Because no matter how smart the software gets, it needs silicon. SemiAnalysis just opened a massive teardown lab in Oregon to look at exactly this.
Right, and they looked at Huawei's new chip.
Yes, the Kirin 9030 chip. It uses MMIC's N+3 node at 32.5 nanometers. But the teardown revealed it still trails Intel's 18A architecture by 38% in density.
38% is a massive gap in hardware terms.
Huge. It shows that no matter how autonomous the agents get, the physical world, the literal arrangement of atoms on a microchip still dictates the speed limit.
Okay, let's just take a breath. Because if we recap the sheer scope of this deep dive, in 1 week, we saw AI models become geopolitical chess pieces taken down by the White House. We saw open-weight models like GLM 5.2 instantly match proprietary tech.
Yep.
We saw Tim Ferriss lose 77% of his book sales to LLMs. And a 9-person team built a futuristic medical scanner. The pace is just blinding.
It is. But I want to leave you with a final thought that connects that DeepMind paper to Midjourney Medical.
Okay.
I talked about the extraction barrier, right? The idea that AI can't learn new science just by reading our old books.
Right, the human echo chamber.
Well, what happens when Midjourney Medical starts scanning 1 billion human bodies a month?
Oh, wow.
Right. AI won't need to read our biology textbooks anymore. It will be generating its own ground truth data from the physical world at a scale we can't even comprehend, and that... Mm-hmm. That might be how the barrier finally breaks.
It stops reading our history and starts observing reality for itself.
Yeah.
That is something to think about. Thank you for joining this deep dive. As the lines between software, politics, and physical reality continue to blur, keep questioning the world around you. Because the digital sandbox we thought we were playing in, it's gone. We'll see you next time.